everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now podcast channel. Joining us once again for the conversation, glad to welcome back on this Friday morning, Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Shane, welcome back. Thank you for dropping by and looking forward to our conversation.
Thank you, Dan. Good to be back with you.
So perhaps beginning with geopolitics, I know a lot has developed since you and I last spoke. I believe it was last Thursday. We did see over this past weekend, so thinking back to last Saturday, Iran launching an attack on Israel, where we did see assistance there from the U.S. having intercepted drones and cruise missiles sent by Iran, though a lot has developed even in the past 24 hours with respect to a response by Israel towards Iran. So can you bring us up to speed as to where this all stands as of this morning, as we're speaking on Friday morning? And maybe also speak to what the global response or reception has been to these events.
Right. Yeah. No. Backing up, you know, the over the weekend you had Iran launch, you know, a pretty massive strike on Israel that was thwarted, and you know, Israel did an exceptional job repelling this attack, but they also got assistance from, you know, not only the U.S. and U.K., but also Jordan and Saudi Arabia. So this was a, you know, really a joint effort and, you know, showed a real strength of force from Israel and allies and, you know, some degree unexpected allies, you know, maybe Iran miscalculated here. And while, you know, President Biden and others were trying to urge Israel to show restraint and not retaliate, I think Israel felt, you know, more than compelled, you know, out of necessity, that they had to retaliate in some manner. And I think from what we've seen so far in this retaliation that happened overnight, it was very strategic, very narrow. And, you know, seems to have, you know, made the point to Iran that, you know, from Israel's perspective, we can repel your attacks, Iran. However, we have the capabilities to strike you. And, you know, we, Israel did not purposely strike, you know, populations and try to avoid casualties in order to, you know, one, not to try and escalate this further, but, you know, show that they have the capabilities that are superior to Iran. So, you know, I think a lot of the world at this moment is trying to you know, say, hey, all right, you know, there was a retaliatory strike, but, you know, we have seen this show before. We can, why don't we all pause here? I think you're going to see a lot of diplomatic efforts to move on. I think Israel, to some extent, would prefer to focus on the more immediate task at hand, if you will, which it would be Hamas number one and Hezbollah number two, then dedicating resources to Iran. So I am cautiously hopeful that, you know, we have seen you know, the Iran-Israel kind of conflict play out. There will be more to come, but I think I'm hopeful that this is kind of the height, if you will, at this moment. And, you know, like I said, Israel will focus on what they see as the more immediate task.
So on a somewhat related note, in terms of U.S. support for these global conflicts, this accounts for Israel and Hamas, as well as the ongoing Russia-Ukraine war. This is also following up from our conversation last week. House Speaker Mike Johnson appears to be pressing forward on efforts to end a congressional impasse on aid packages for Ukraine and Israel, as well as it's well documented that these efforts could jeopardize Mike Johnson's speakership. So where does this all stand as of today?
That's right. You know, Iran's attack on Israel really emphasized to lawmakers that, you know, there is an immediate need to act. And so, you know, I think that, to your point, helped break a little bit of a logjam. You know, there's obviously a number of moving parts here, but we are seeing Congress, specifically the House, press ahead. The current expectation is that the House today will take up a rules package. And a rules package is kind of this, you know, what it is, what it sounds like, right? It allows debate on these bills that would fund Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, and sets the structure of the debate, allows certain amendments, it rules certain amendments out of order, it sets up, you know, how much time there is for the debate. So that vote will be today, which will set up probably a Saturday vote on these aid packages. You know, a couple of rare things here, we'll say. You know, Congress typically is not in session on Saturdays, but the House really wants to kind of move this ahead and get it over to the Senate, as, you know, there is more pressing needs than there was, you know, given the attack on Israel by Iran. Secondly, you know, this is being advanced right now with Democrat help. You know, while there is Republican support for the Israel package, there is, you know, a majority of Republican support aid to Ukraine, but it will need Democrat support to not only get across the finish line, but I mentioned this rules package. The rule that was voted out of the House Rules Committee last night included Democrat support, which honestly, I can't remember the last time I saw that, where a rule was bipartisan. It is, in my mind, a purely partisan vote, even if the bill itself is bipartisan. So I think there was recognition that for all this to move ahead, Democrats had to come to the table. And to your point, this is going to put Speaker Johnson in jeopardy with a number of Republicans.
So just to add another layer to this, and this is tying in a topic we covered a few weeks ago and loops in a geopolitical concern for the U.S., that being China. So another element here, the House is reportedly considering adding a provision for TikTok divestiture into such a Ukraine-Israel-Taiwan aid package. What can you share with us on that development?
That's right. So currently, the way it's going to be structured is there's probably going to be five about separate bullets. One would be on the, you know, 60 plus billion to Ukraine. The second would be 26 plus billion for Israel and humanitarian aid. Third would be 8 plus billion for Taiwan. And then fourth would probably be this bill. It contains a few things. It would contain a requirement to use Russian sovereign funds held in the U.S. currently that are frozen to be used in reconstruction of Ukraine. And then a measure to require TikTok's owner to divest from the popular app within 1 year or have it banned from the U.S. marketplace. The bill would also contain various new sanctions on Russia, China, and Iran. And then the fifth bill would be immigration reform. So, yeah, well, a lot of different components. I think the fourth bill you could maybe label as, you know, kind of a sweetener to it's a package that I think, you know, is not relevant to the spending bill itself because it's not spending money. But it is relevant because of the topics, you know, when you're talking about Ukraine, Russia and China, you know, a lot going on there. So, you know, relevant, and I would expect that vote tomorrow, and I would expect it to pass.
So it should be a very interesting 24 to 48 hours ahead of us. And of course, we'll keep our listeners, our clients informed, and perhaps speak about the outcome when we catch up again next week. Though, Shane, thank you for dropping by the podcast as we close out another week. I wish you a nice weekend ahead and look forward to chatting again with you soon.
Thanks, Dan. Good to be with you. And on the 24 to 48 hours ahead, hopefully it's only 24 to 36 hours ahead and we get Sunday. Free to watch baseball and other things.
Definitely. Sounds good. Thank you, Shane. Again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. I will point out to our listeners and our clients, you can now locate the latest Washington Weekly publication, which can be located up on ubs.com/Washington Weekly. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.